Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiellini now. Here's a Hunter, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise, La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
We are also from the home studio of Glenn Davis. This is where this is going to emanate tonight. It's the beauty of having a Comrex at home. And we got a good show in store for you. Hoping all of you are coping the best you can right now with the situation that we are all in. And we are in it together. Unified and united is better. These are difficult shows to do because no matter what I talk about tonight, outside of what's going on with all of us, it's more important what is going on with our health and taking care of ourselves and each other. So I don't think that's anything. I'll put that disclaimer out there right away here tonight. The other thing I just want to let you know is we're doing everything we can to keep these shows on the air. And with that, that means that you have to have a producer in studio. So Aaron Raybould, who's in tonight for Andrew Carlson, is really doing a lot of double duty. So, Andrew, thank you for that. And we all appreciate it. And I'm sure the listeners of this show and all the prior programming today, including the Blitz, which just finished, appreciates it also. How are you holding up?
I'm doing okay. Just still, like, trying to get used to everything.
What are your days like at home when you're not at the studio working? What do you do? You know, because all of our routines have been altered. We're all trying to look for little wins every day. We're all trying to stay very positive here. Because there's all kinds of things and challenges that we're all facing right now.
Well, every morning, no matter whether I come in or not, I wake up and I do about three and a half hours of show prep for Fred and AJ, and I send them stories that they need for the day. And then I will usually have breakfast with my wife while she's working from home and then listen to the station all day, making notes of different shows and play PlayStation or watch TV, try to distract me until it's time to go take my dog for a walk.
Man, you just raised the bar for Andrew Carlson. 3 to 3.5 hours of show prep. And Andrew's a superstar like you.
Oh, I've seen him. He does easily 4 to 5.
I know. I'm just messing with you. But you're doing it every day, too, for Fred and AJ and all the shows you guys do. So we appreciate it very much. So thank you very much for that, Aaron. I myself, you know, I'm making sure every day I'm doing some cardio for me. I have to do exercise in order to mentally be sharp as well. So I'm either riding a stationary bike. I have been going outside the last couple of days. I haven't gone outside as much. I am getting a little bit creative. I'm not going to say I'm going to turn into John Cena, but I'm carrying water bottles up flights of stairs, you know, like a case of them, just to do a little legwork and some sit-ups and push-ups. And it always makes me feel better that you know, you accomplish some little small things throughout the day. And I'd like to know what some of our listeners are doing. 713-780-3776. Now, I only have to take care of a dog. It's easy for somebody like me, somebody that has a family. Now, if you have a family of soccer players, it's a great time for them to be working with a ball at home, whether inside, whether outside. I remember as a kid going down, we have basements in New Jersey, going into the basement in the summer on a cement floor and using a wall and knocking a ball off a wall and turning with it and creating little, you know, little training environments for myself. Who's doing that out there? 713-780-3776 with your kids. I've seen some great soccer fields and backyards. There's backyards, there's front yards, there's indoors, there's outdoors. Obviously, you have to practice the social distancing. But, you know, don't be weighed down by the crisis and anxiety. And listen, we all get it. I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night. I got 94-year-old parents in New Jersey who are both coughing. But I judge that some anxiety is going to be natural for all of us. But the way to battle back is to remain positive and find ways to engage your day. Be creative. Come up with ideas for you and your family and your loved ones. And I don't want to sound preachy here, but I do want to bring something positive to the air tonight. Again, this is from my home studio. Aaron Raybould is at Mission Control at Gal Media in the Galleria. And again, I thank Aaron for all he's done. Johan Cruyff passed away 4 years ago. Revolutionized the game. We're going to reflect on him tonight. Jonathan Tannenwald, who writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Very, very good writer. Guy that's up on things. I sat in listening to the press conference today that announced for U.S. Soccer Will Wilson, a new CEO and Secretary General. Cindy Parlow, who that's we remember the name when she was on the national team. Cindy Parlow Cohn, who is now, you know, is now the U.S. Soccer sort of president. He's taken over for Carlos Cordero. No idea how he ever got there, but that's just another story. She was quoted today in the press conference saying a lot of damage has been done. I think we're going to have to rebuild trust and rebuild the relationship. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a lot of effort, time, and energy from U.S. Soccer to build that trust, not only with our U.S. women's national team players, but with our fans and everyone engaged in the sport. As you know, there's, you know, a claim there that they have not been paid equally to the men's national team. They want $66 million in damages under the Equal Pay Act and Civil Rights Act of 64. So anyway, Jonathan's going to come on the show. We're going to get some takeaways from that presser today, which was a lot about, you know, really announcing people. Rachel Daly, England, played in the semifinal against the U.S. in the Women's World Cup. Houston Dash joins me on the show. Rachel's always very candid. Looking forward to having her on tonight. Dave Johnson, colleague, obviously, a man I've known a long time, did some broadcasts with way, way back. And I know him as a colleague. He's a DC United play-by-play man. 25 years. He's been in Major League Soccer every year. It's only three or four people. Proud to say that that's happened to me as well. 25-year commentator, Dave Johnson, joining us tonight. He's a rarity, and he's going to reflect on what he's seen through the lens of a lot of different things at DC United. And we're not just going to focus on the good times of Marco Echeverry and Jaime Moreno, but we're going to also focus on maybe some of the dark times before DC United has emerged out of the tunnel. And it's not easy for broadcasters during the hard times, no question. Nathan Kouamou is originally from Cameroon, started the Baller Academy here in Houston. This is a really interesting model that he's created here for inner city kids. Now, obviously, this is all on hold right now, like everything in our lives. But he's going to be on the program here tonight. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to be with family. It's maybe a time to be alone. What are you doing with that time? 713-780-3776. Because there is no question. I've said to myself, no matter how long this lasts, if this is 2 months, 3 months, I'm coming out of it better. I'm going to have a more organized household. I'm going to know where all my vital papers are. Things as simple as that. I'm also going to reflect on myself, my family, things that are going on. I also have a nephew that's getting over the coronavirus. He got out of Milan, Italy when it was first being diagnosed. He self-quarantined. I mentioned this on the show last week. He self-quarantined, very responsible, and had some breathing problems, went into the hospital, got diagnosed then with pneumonia, and he's now on a farm up near Saratoga in New York State that my brother has, his father, and he's there on his own now, remaining isolated and checking in with a doctor on a daily basis. So this is no joke. Let's acknowledge that the real superstars right now also, when it comes to the front lines, are doctors, nurses, caretakers, those in the line of fire, those who are there for us, who we always have the tendency to applaud and pat on the back when we need them. No question. I've spoken to many of my friends who are nurses and in these professions. Maybe we need to think about them and truck drivers and delivery drivers and cashiers and many others in differing professions in a different light who help us execute. So let's hope that when this is done today, or when we get past this thing, not today, but when we get past it, that there's a part of us that doesn't let that go and that remains grateful for others and the things they do. And if simply your friends or your neighbors are practicing self-distancing, that means they're caring and concerned for others. These you-know-what clowns that are not respecting anything don't know what to say. And there's always those. But they'll be the first one who's going to need a nurse or a doctor. And they may be the ones that are also hoarding the toilet paper. So anyway, let's keep this positive. But it's always a tough platform, you know, when you're on the air and there is a crisis or something that is far more important than the playing of a game. So continue to practice that social distancing. Wash your hands. Practice good hygiene. Respect others. Be on the team. Unity is a proven deterrent. In the game of football, teams that are together are generally the successful ones. And I got 94-year-old parents, too, that did not sound very good on the phone last night, which is a huge concern in New Jersey. My father, military veteran. All right, so what are you doing with the additional time to deal with the stress, the natural anxiety, or your American spirit will rise during this? 713-780-3776. Good news is we don't have to talk about VAR. Hit me up during the show on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. How are you handling the current situation? Again, anybody have created environments in the backyard? Let me know. All right, so on to Johan Cruyff. Well, I think we're going to take a break here, right, Aaron? Want to do a break? What was that music there? Oh, that's okay. What song was that just came on?
That was the Struts. What was it?
Oh, I like the Struts. Yeah, but did you get my music list?
I don't think so.
Look in your email. I just sent you phone numbers and the music list as well. I like the Struts, though. I'm not impartial to the Struts. They're a good band. Couple things here too. If you own a restaurant in Houston, and we know how you are getting hit and your staff is getting hit, you can call a show tonight or you can hit me up on Twitter and we'll give your restaurant a mention that you are serving food. So Mi Bella, the Honduran restaurant, is the Federal Grill on Shepherd. Nico Nico's out on I-10 and the Beltway, as well as the Montrose location. Patagonia Steakhouse on I-10. Our good friend Sebastian Abraham. Nico Nico's, Dimitri and his family. My goodness, I've known them forever. Phoenix Brew Pub. Manchester City supporters, I think, there. And also Celtic supporters go there as well. So if you want a shout-out, hit me up at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and we will shout-out your restaurant. I also posted a very funny little video of a nephew of mine who's in Connecticut, who's apparently his mother has bought him a couple of chickens. So he did a drill with the chicken in his hand. It's kind of cute. It's pretty funny. You got to see it. It's a pretty funny thing. Phoenix on Westheimer. Yeah, did a shout out. We're proud to have you all there for Premier League weekends. They're talking to their group. Of course, our show also is brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's, which I do not believe is doing food right now. Talk to Peter out there where the Liverpool supporters group is. This show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And where would we be without John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm? They're bringing you soccer on the radio tonight. So if you're enjoying this, make mention of that. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Let's just go over to Twitter here. you know, there are people posting videos of youth doing things in their homes and playing the game. And of course, there's a young man here working in his garage with a number of cones here, just pulling and drawing the ball back. There's a lot you can do if you're a youth player. If you got a brother, too, you can also go out in the backyard and play some one-on-one. There's Boniac Garcia doing a little workout and ball work with the sole of his foot with his twin sons. That's pretty cool. What else we got here? We do know the Olympics is going to go now to 2021. Took a little while to get there, but they have. So, anyway, has there ever been a player in the history of the game in your mind that has influenced you beyond belief? Who is that player? And I would love for you to tell me who that is. 713-780-3776. Who's the player that influenced you? May it change the way you looked at the game? For me, it was Johan Cruyff. Has there ever been a player outside of Cruyff that has ever, from the playing standpoint and the managerial standpoint, had that much of an influence on the game? Who else would you say? And it's not necessarily just winning and losing. Now, you could easily say Beckenbauer, right? After that, is there anybody that compares with Cruyff? And Cruyff was in the management side of the game far longer. Built the culture at Barcelona. Now, don't say Pelé. I mean, Pelé is a different one, actually. Did not do the managerial side of it. Pelé is certainly an influence. But I don't think if the criteria is player and then you have had the coach, I don't think Pelé, Diego Maradona, no. I know many of the set now will go to Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, but Lionel Messi is necessarily, frankly, a disciple of Johan Cruyff and the system he set up at Barcelona 4 years ago to the day we lost Cruyff. Now, I would imagine there are many recent fans, new fans of Barcelona maybe in the United States, that don't even know much about Johan Cruyff. So if you're a new Barcelona fan, you need to Google and look up Johan Cruyff. There'll be tons of stuff there. Remarkable player, a total orchestrator and conductor in the game, explosive, organized. I mean, if you hear this term or this terminology of a coach on the field, if there ever was one, it was him. He revived the psyche and the confidence of Barcelona and a region of Spain. And again, what separates him from the other names I just mentioned is that he reached the pinnacle as a player and a manager. Player and manager. Not to mention looking at football so differently, so uniquely. Because to Cruyff, it was how you played the game, even before winning. 74 World Cup, West Germany and the Netherlands. I've talked about this many times on this show. That was a changing moment for me. 19,000 people in Madison Square Garden, Germans and Dutch, all with jerseys on, waving flags. And in the middle of the New York Knicks basketball court, the NBA court, are four small screens. Because all you could get for a 74 World Cup was closed circuit television. I went with my brother and my father. When Cruyff arrived in 73 as a player at Barcelona, Barcelona had a real confidence problem, an inferior complex, no question. Real Madrid had tried to get Cruyff, by the way. And like I said, he changed how Barcelona played football. It was now not just about fight and effort. So he arrives as a player in 73. They're fourth from the bottom, then they win the title. First league title in 14 years. Orchestrator, conductor, thinking ahead of everyone. This is before I'm even talking about what he did with the Netherlands, what he did with Ajax, European Cups, one, which is now called the Champions League. And it was a thinking man's game with Cruyff. which reminds us, when we hear managers in this sport say, you must play faster, what does that mean to you? Does not mean simply and solely technically. Of course, you have to be proficient technically. But to be proficient technically, you got to have a quick mind. How quick you can assess things. Where's pressure coming from? How quick do you think? Speed of thought. And then you combine that with a skill set. So Cruyff in 88 becomes the manager of Barcelona. Of course, at that time, in crisis, in debt. And he leads him to the European Cup title. He set up La Masia. And now you know why. Whenever you talk about Barcelona, you're talking about the Dutch legend, Johan Cruyff. Got to the World Cup final with him in 74. They went up 1-0. Watch the first minute of the game if you want to see a glimpse of him running through and exploding right through the heart of the West German defense to earn a penalty. Never won the World Cup. That was 74. 78, it was in Argentina, which Argentina won, led by Mario Kempes. Which was a bit tainted, I would say. And Argentines will maybe disagree with me, but there was... that was a differing time in Argentina, but Argentina would beat the Netherlands in that final. And by the way, Cruyff did not go with the Netherlands to that World Cup final against Argentina. It tells you how good of a team that was. But he was the orchestrator. He won three European Cups as a player. So his son speaks out and posts an article, and this is pretty remarkable. Jordi Cruyff played at Manchester United. In the article, Cruyff is sick. He died of cancer. In the article, he says, and this is his son speaking, I remember one day when our dad has us all worried because he took longer than usual to return from his usual visit to the clinic where he was undergoing treatment in his battle against cancers. When he got home, my mom asked him if something had happened. Cruyff would respond this way, quote, I have good news, he announced with a wide smile. They have found another tumor. My mother restrained from sending him back out the door. And then went on to say, what type of news is that? Cruyff would then respond and say, well, they found it. They can treat it. They can look for a solution. He responded calmly. Jordi Cruyff went on to say his father, Johan, was a born optimist in adversity. Excessive, some thought, but that is who he was. Remarkable player, remarkable manager. I once saw him on the set. I think it was Sky Sports. It was a bunch of English legends, and then Cruyff was there. And I don't know what game it was. I can't remember. They were analyzing. But he always looked at the game so differently, through a different lens than everybody else. And they show this play where a guy scores. And they all make, you know, they go to each commentator and get them to say something. Cruyff looks at all of them and says, no, the guy who scored should have passed it to this guy, and points out who it is. All right, we're going to take a break here. This show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. A big thank you to John and his firm. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here. When we come back, we're going to go to Jonathan Tannenwald, of the Philadelphia Inquirer. He will join us on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Practice social distancing. Wash your hands.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis. Yeah, you got
satin shoes. All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Can't you hear me knocking? 713-780-3776. Again, doing this out of the home studio here tonight. Aaron Raybould in studio. And it's about 7:30 right now as we bring on our next guest. Again, this is brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Jonathan Tannenwald of the Philadelphia Inquirer. You know him for his great writing for Major League Soccer and soccer in general. Covers the Philadelphia Union as well. Jonathan joins us now. Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Couldn't we all be better, right? But doing yeah. the best we can.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you, Jonathan, the same question I've asked and will ask everybody who comes on the show tonight. You know, how do you, you know, in these times, organize your day? What's different? How are you adapting to, you know, the situation and being home? I'm sure you are home a lot doing a lot of writing, but how are you adapting?
Well, I'm fortunate in that I have other things that I do at the Inquirer beyond writing about soccer, most of which are, you know, handling sort of editing of the website and things like that. So I have plenty of work to do, and a lot of us in the sports department up here, I don't know about the Chronicle, but I know that in a number of newspapers, mine included, you know, some of us in the sports department have gone to pitch in, doing other things, helping out with our colleagues on the news side and in health and so on, and covering the impact of the virus, which up here has been pretty hard.
Yeah, no question. We're talking to Jonathan Tannenwald of the Philadelphia Inquirer. If we talk about today's press conference, that included Cindy Parlow-Cohn, who was taken over for Carlos Cordero. Will Wilson is announced as the new CEO and Secretary General. What are some of your general takes out of this press conference today from U.S. Soccer?
You know, I liked what I heard. And, I've been saying to people who've asked me and people around the game who I've talked to that I'm going to judge Will Wilson on what he does. I know a lot of people aren't thrilled with his ties to Soccer United Marketing, and I don't blame them. But I'm going to judge him on what he does, and I'm certainly going to judge Cindy Cohn on what she does. And there are a couple of reasons why I'm optimistic. Because you got to look, we know that there are a couple of big issues at play here. You know, the women's team's lawsuit is the biggest one. But also, at the same time, and I don't mean to equate them because they're not equated, but the men have not had a working CBA in 15 months. And eventually, at some point, everybody's going to get back on the field, and there's going to be World Cup qualifying for 2022, and you're asking the men to play without a CBA, and that's not going to go over very well, even for the younger guys who are new to this. And I see a couple of things. Cindy Cohn was on the U.S. women, a star player at that, and so she understands where the women's players are coming from and why equal pay matters and why they deserve to get it, and as we know, have deserved to get equal treatment for a very long time and have not had it. And I look also at Will Wilson, and I see that among the many things he has done is he has been a player agent, you know, for NFL players, including Andrew Luck, who lots of people obviously in Houston know well because of his father.
Wasserman
and
Media
says
Group.
To me that he can... Pardon?
A Wasserman Media Group.
Yeah. But he's been on the player's side of a labor negotiation. So he's going to understand where they're coming from. And that says to me that there's a little bit of smarts in that room now to try to get this done and hopefully get it done right.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you certainly want to avoid a trial, right?
Well, it sounds like, I mean, U.S. Soccer has made it quite clear they want to settle this thing and not have it go to a trial. And, you know, I'm sure that's in part because if they settle, it wouldn't probably cost them the full $66 million that the players want. But it also is just going to be a really big headache for everybody if it goes to trial. And, you know, I saw the players' lawyers' spokesperson, Molly Levinson, said today, the answer is equal pay. And my response to that was, look, I'm generally on the player's side with this. they deserve what they're fighting for. But at some point, you got to define a little more specifically what equal pay is. Because if you don't...
That seems to be the problem, right? Isn't that the problem, Jonathan? Defining it?
Well, my theory for a while has been this. Look, there is definitely a back pay element in this. We know that. And it has the potential to be a lot of money. But my theory is, and I've talked about this with a few people in the game, and, excuse me, generally, you know, I've gotten agreement on it. Somewhere out there is a number that is everything that U.S. soccer owes the women from its own bank account over the years. Differences in, you know, match fees per friendly and per diems and such, things like that. There's a number out of the money that U.S. soccer has from its own revenues, independent of FIFA prize money. And that's going to be a pretty big number at the end of the day, I think. It's not going to be $66 million. But you take that, and as Cindy Cohn, you put some more money on top of that to say, look, you've been screwed over, pardon my language, you know, this has been going on for a long time, and you've won 4 World Cups and 4 Olympics, and we need to recognize that. This is the number, and let's see if they can get there. And then Cindy Cohn's job is to go to the board and say, this is the number, and this is what we're spending, and I'm the president of U.S. soccer, so this is what we're doing.
It's a good take. It's a fair take. We're going to see what happens. That was the big news here today. Will Wilson and Cindy Cohn addressing, again, the women are seeking $66 million in damages under the Equal Pay Act and the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Trial scheduled for May 5th, federal court in L.A. Nobody thinks that U.S. soccer wants to air their dirty laundry. Okay, now, you as being somebody who's so up on Major League Soccer and the Philadelphia Union, what do you think is going to happen with the schedule, Jonathan? I mean, again,
I don't know exactly.
Well, let's just say, let me give you a for instance. Let's say we don't get playing till June. And you and I discussed earlier today TV revenue as to ticket revenue and what is more important in Major League Soccer, and we all know it's ticket revenue.
It is, at least as of now. And it's unfortunate. Well, and it's not only that. It's that ticket revenue is still more important in the minds of some of the team owners and executives that are out there, especially in the smaller markets. And by smaller markets, we mean in terms of how much the teams spend. The smaller markets in MLS, unfortunately, are two of the biggest markets in the country population-wise, which are Philadelphia and Houston. The Union and the Dynamo are in the same boat here, to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating. Look, I think it is a big reason why, you know, the ticket revenue, why the league keeps saying that they want to play 34 league games in the year. And I think that the Open Cup is probably going by the wayside for MLS and the USL. It helps that the USL has already gone first and said, yeah, we're probably not going to play in it this year, because that gives, if it was just MLS saying that, it would not necessarily come across so great. But the USL going first helps with that. And I think that, you know, we're probably going to see 2 league games a week for a good long while, and the question is going to become, how do you do that when the roster sizes are as small as they are in Major League Soccer? And my hope, I haven't really said this much, but I'm going to say this probably for the first time on your show. My hope is that MLS and the MLS Players Association and the USL can come to a deal, and they might have to call the NCAA, which is going to be a problem, because the NCAA doesn't care, but come up with a deal for some of these academy kids and sell players to play in MLS and expand the rosters a little bit, you know, just for this year. And then maybe next year go back to the way things were. Because you're going to need a lot
more players. To play 34 games, it's going to be condensed. There's going to be concern about what the athletes can take. It means a lot of Saturday, Wednesday-type games. There's no question the volume's going to be up to. That's why you get rid of the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, unfortunately, and a lot of other competitions, and you focus on your league, much like the Premier League is, and have said, look, the Euros are out the window now. It's all about continuing and finishing the Premier League.
And I think the public is, heaven knows, Glenn, and you and I are used to this. People will say, oh, the quality of the play stinks and this, that, and so on. The public's going to have to be a little bit flexible here if we're seeing a lot more academy kids and reserves and so on playing in some of these games, because they're going to have to play all the games. And that's how I do it. Doesn't mean anybody has to listen to me, but it seems to make some sense. See, figure out a way to expand the rosters a little bit so that not everybody has to play in every single game.
Well, that's a great point because, look, if you've got a roster that includes a lot of older players or a handful of older players that are being, definitely needed and you're expecting a certain amount of games out of them, they're not going to be able to handle Wednesday, Saturday. And that's going to be a big challenge, and that's something that managers are probably having staff meetings like Todd Ramos today and talking to his coaching staff as to, how and when are we going to get started? Once we get started, what are we going to do? What are players doing at home creating their own training environments? They're going to have to give the teams time to prepare, I would assume, as well, Jonathan.
I think that's right, and I don't know how that's going to work. I don't think anybody knows how that's going to work. Excuse me, at this point, because nobody knows when we're going to be back on the field.
Yep, that's the big unknown. Jonathan, listen, you're always great coming on the radio. Thank you very much for that. You're a true pro. Jonathan Tannenwald, what's your Twitter handle, Jonathan, again? Is it?
My Twitter handle is The Goalkeeper. Everything people are looking for, you found there. I want to mention one other thing, by the way, about Will Wilson,
yes,
which is that he's fluent in Spanish because he worked in Mexico for the NFL for a while, and he got an MBA at one of the universities down there. And he spoke very eloquently today about wanting to do outreach to the Spanish-speaking population in the United States, which has been a big problem for U.S. soccer over the years. And Cindy Cohn said that was one of the reasons why she wanted to hire him as CEO. And let's see if that comes to pass. It would be a very good thing if it does.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that would be a very good thing. All right, Jonathan, I'll let you get back to work. Thank you so much for coming on. Short notice, called you this morning. Here you are providing some great and interesting commentary for my listeners. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Glenn, be well, and all your listeners be well.
Yeah, stay safe. That's Jonathan Tannenwald, Philadelphia Inquirer. He is at The Goalkeeper on Twitter, and he does great coverage. It's tough for writers now. Now he does a lot of other things, but it is tough to come up with storylines, and we don't want to talk about the coronavirus all the time. That's why we're talking a little Johan Cruyff today. Take a few phone calls throughout the show, 713-780-3776. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. You can even go over to Instagram, Glenn Davis Sock. Couple of things. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, presenting sponsors of this show. That's number one. Number two, if you're in the market for the ultimate driving machine, the only place to get it is Advantage BMW in Midtown. And again, these sponsors keep us on the air. Driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from them. Go down there, see Justin. Customer service remarkable. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown will take you right through the whole process. Sales, service, finance. It can be done easy. Advantage BMW Midtown. Again, proud sponsors of this show, along with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Get down there, see Justin. Coming up next, it's women's football. Rachel Daly, Lionesses of England, the Houston Dash. She's always got something to say about the game. Rachel Daly is up next on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 Break Time.
Into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Once we are comfortable that we can get our players with 3 to 4 weeks of training and that we have the guidance that we can get crowds back into our stadiums, then we will begin the relaunch of our season. Again, our intent is to play as many games as we possibly can. That means moving our regular season later into November. It means moving the MLS Cup back to mid-December, and we've had that for many, many years. We're very confident that we can go back to that format. Our plan is to still have single elimination format that did so well on ESPN last season, and to have the MLS Cup hosted in the team market that earns it.
Don Garber, Billy Squire brings us back. Lonely as the Night. Got to embrace the loneliness and solitary. You can't let it win the game. I've been watching, I haven't finished it yet, The English Game, which is on Netflix. Sure wish I had some of that stock. Also, I really recommend this. Bobby Robson, More Than a Manager. Fantastic documentary. Breaks away to Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho. Talks about his time when he took over Barcelona for Johan Cruyff. Pressure that was on him. Basically wants to sign this 19-year-old young man that's playing at PSV Eindhoven in the Netherlands and is scoring goals like crazy. He's told by management and ownership that your job depends on this transfer. The transfer was 19-year-old Ronaldo, the real Ronaldo, the Brazilian. They show some clips of him in this. Remarkable. I think he goes on to score 47 goals in the next season. It's a great one. Anybody seen those two? Let me know what your thoughts are on them and any other recommendations that you have for good TV watching. All right, I don't want to keep her waiting anymore. She is a member of the Lionesses, the England national team, the Houston Dash. She's always a great guest on this show and always has something good to say. It's Rachel Daly. She joins us now. Rachel, how are you?
Hi, Glenn. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, so I'm going to ask you the obvious first question. What's your daily routine like now? You playing any soccer within the confines of your situation?
Yeah, it's definitely very different to what I thought my preseason would look like. I was just saying today, actually, I've actually not met half the girls on the team. Obviously, we've got a new team, and I was away with England at the time when they were at preseason, so it's going to be a weird one coming back into it. But yeah, it's very, very different. I've been doing a lot of bike work inside and, you know, trying to stay in as much as possible and follow the guidelines, obviously, especially now. But before today, I was obviously going out trying to get as many touches in as I can, you know, local parks, any fields I can get on. But yeah, very different, not how I expected my preseason to be.
Now, do you get instructions or any kind of training regime or regiment down from James Clarkson, the manager, or is it just, hey, you all need to stay fit here?
No, yeah, we have our strength coach, Matt. He sends out workouts to do every day. And, you know, with limited access to what we don't have much access to certain things, obviously weight and things like that. I'm fortunate to have a bike, so I'm not on the road on my knee all the time. But, you know, yeah, I think we just have to follow plans as much as we can and stay in the best shape as we can. It's not ideal, but it's not ideal for anyone. You know, and I think safety is the first and foremost, and that should be a priority for everyone.
Rachel Daly, England national team player, Houston Dash. What else crosses your mind during this time? Because, you know, when you have time to think here and your routine is altered and we're not in the hustle and bustle of life, there is reflection and introspection. Anything going on in your mind along those lines? Because I can tell you there's stuff happening over here where I am that I'm thinking about that's pretty different.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have enough time on your show for me to go into what my thoughts have been in the past week. But yeah, certainly very anxious. I think it's obviously a tough time for everyone. I think it's really difficult from my perspective, being so far away from home and not being able to see my family and, you know, be with them during this time. It's the unknown, I think, that fears me the most. you know, I don't know when the season's going to start. Obviously, the Olympics are now cancelled. The Euros are going to be moved. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot that you have planned for the next 2, even 3 years. And that gets taken away from you in a day. And things change. And, you know, it becomes very difficult. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's nothing that you can do about it. And I think that I try and tell myself that every minute of every day. I still can't accept that, but it's the way the world is, and unfortunately we're going through a time of crisis right now, and you know, I think the most important thing is just to rally around each other, obviously from a distance, but and just be there for one another virtually.
Yeah, Rachel brings it up, making sure you keep that distance, self-distancing important, wash the hands, do all the basics, and that does bring us all unity. At the end of the day, if you're self-distancing yourself from people, you're showing respect for them. I think that's the way I'm kind of looking at it. All right, so I'm doing different things. Like, I'm organizing drawers. I'm getting rid of extraneous papers that I don't need, important papers. I'm filing. You know, I'm doing a lot of that kind of stuff that I haven't gotten to that I needed to get to. What are some of the things that maybe uniquely you're doing? I'm making sure I do 100 push-ups every day, 200 sit-ups, just because I want a few small wins every day to stay positive.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, I think you have to find things to do. I've been doing weird things as well. I moved my entire living room around to try and get a different feel, because I felt like I was getting a bit sort of stir-crazy looking at the same four walls all the time. I have been actually cooking different genre dinners every single night. I tweeted about it actually, and listening to that specific country's music while cooking. So that's been something I've been looking forward to throughout the day. But yeah, totally weird things like that. You know, I think I try and do something different every single day. I FaceTimed my mum this morning and put her through a workout via FaceTime, which is the first time I've ever done anything like that. So that was fun.
Awesome.
But yeah, just got to do different things, stay happy, stay motivated, stay positive. And, you know, like you say, I think it's an act of kindness by staying out of the way.
Now I did see that tweet with the food, and I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't jot that down because I wanted to talk to you about that. So which has been the best combined music and food for you so far?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough one. You know, I love Indian food, but I'm not sure I'm into the music. But I think I'd probably have to go with Italian. I think I love Italian food and I love Italian music. So I'd probably have to say that one.
So as a professional footballer, I mean, if you have an Italian food, you have to have a glass of red wine. Were you, I mean, did you go there?
I did go there. And I think especially now with, you know, kind of being quarantined, I think it's nice to enjoy a glass of red wine every now and again. And Italian red wine is my favorite. So, yeah, it worked out perfectly.
There you go. Good Chianti. And you know what? That's
exactly,
the end of the day.
Exactly,
I have one. That's my reward at the end of the day, is one cocktail or a glass of wine. That's kind of the way I'm doing it. So it's just a small pleasure at the end of the day. We're talking to Rachel Daly, England national team, Houston Dash. Been so much fun to watch her. This is just in my opinion. It was a different Dash team when Rachel's on the field. There's no question about that. I'm going to say that. She doesn't have to respond to that. But I want to talk to you about the semifinals in the World Cup against the United States. Epic game. You ultimately go down 2-1. You piece together an incredible, incisive goal. But what I want to know is what has been the, you know, sort of the repercussions of that to the women's game in England after that, when an entire country saw that you could go toe-to-toe with the United States like that? Is there more money in the game now? Is there more notoriety in the game? How has it sort of accelerated things specifically in England?
Yeah, I think the game was already growing in England. I think it's on the right track now to be, you know, one of the most successful, if not the most successful league in the world. I think the growth of the game there is tremendous. And like you say, probably from the World Cup, it probably took a bit more of a hit positively. But, you know, I think there's a lot of frustration within the country. I think we're a very proud country when it comes to football. It's, you know, what we sort of base ourselves on. And for us to only get to the semi-final and lose was, I think that's also a big negative. I would imagine that if we'd have got to the final, that, you know, the outcome would have been a lot more positive in England in terms of the game and how it would have grown. But yeah, I can't say anything negative whatsoever. I think the league's fantastic. It's in a great place right now. You know, I'm sure there is a lot more money in it. The players that they're bringing in now are next level, and you can see that even with Sam Kerr going to Chelsea. I think it's a massive name on the world's biggest stage coming into the English league. So I think, yeah, I think it's definitely growing.
A lot of writers took the tack that Phil Neville tactically did not do this correctly against the United States. Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy that. I think we had the game plan and we executed it. But, you know, on the day, it's a game of football, it's a game of two halves, and, you know, anything could have happened in that game. We scored the penalty, if the offside goal actually stood. It's a completely different game, and I think, like you said, we did go toe-to-toe with them, and I think, you know, any other day it could have gone our way. Unfortunately, it didn't. I think the tactics were right. I can't say that I could see that they were wrong.
Rachel, thank you for taking the time out to come on the program. I always love talking football with you. You handle anything that gets tossed at you. Your passion for the game and your ability in the game is something that I think people take note of. And what's on the menu tonight food-wise?
I actually went back to Italian tonight.
Oh, you're not allowed to go back to the same one.
I know. I had it on Thursday, I think. Thursday. So Thursday to, what, Tuesday? I don't even know the day. Tuesday to Thursday. Not bad. Not bad.
So Italian food, you got to be playing some good opera music, I would imagine.
Do you know what it is? I put in my Apple Music, I just type in Italian dinner music, and there's some unbelievable tunes.
You know, you see, and growing up in New Jersey, we would be playing Frank Sinatra. We would call that the Italian music. Anyway, a little When the Moon Hits the Sky. A little Amore.
Yeah, great song. Great.
All right, Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy your meal tonight. Thank you again for taking the time out to join us all.
Thank you for having me. Stay safe.
Yeah, you too. Rachel Daly, England national team, Houston Dash. Heard her comments there about the Premier League. Don't think the Premier League is going to want to take a back seat to anybody when it comes to women's football, including the NWSL. Competition's good. Lifts the bar for everybody. It's time to reflect. It's a time to be with your family. Maybe it's a time to be alone, but it's a test, and I think some of us are handling it better than others. Stay home. Respect your fellow man. Be disciplined. Stay calm. We're going to get through this. We can do this. You heard from Rachel Daly. She's doing things differently to get through her day. All right, we'll take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. When we come back, it's a visit about a local academy that's doing some very, very good work. It's called the Baller Academy. Nathan Koumou joins me when we come back on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's break time.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.